You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window, tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information, asking for more. What blood makes noise? Is it ringing in my ear? Blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Common Sense Show. We have a real exciting show for you this evening. This is Dave Hodges, your host, and we are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. We've got a lot to get through tonight. In the last 2 hours, we're going to be joined by my good friend, Steve Quayle, and we're going to talk about his book that covers what's under the ice in Antarctica. And I think this is really picking up steam. Steve was, I think, among the first, if not the first, to really raise these questions. And now it seems like the rest of the country is jumping on board. But I got to tell you, I read some of these accounts that are out there on the net, and they're not even close. And I told Steve, I said, Steve, I got to have you come back on to straighten this out. We got to let the people know where this is at. Legitimate knowledge that is out there for us to know about and not some of the hype and pretense that we're seeing on various websites. In just a moment, we're going to be joined by my friend Doug Hagman from the Hagman and Hagman Report, which airs right here on Global Star Radio Network, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., and that's in the Eastern time zone. And I say it every week, for my money, it's the best radio show that's out there. And I'm sure that Global Star is thrilled to have Doug. We're also thrilled to be on Red State Radio Network and all their affiliates. And really, we're so glad to be part of your family. You guys have so many great hosts. You do such good work in the name of liberty and freedom. We're really proud to be part of your lineup. Well, I want to say a couple words about our sponsors here before we get started. My good friend Bob Griswold has something going on that I think that something should be that you want to take advantage of this. Bob represents readymaderesources.com, as you all know. And he is a ham radio operator. He has extensive overseas experience as a security consultant. He's the expert, I think, in the country on night vision. And he'll be available through the evening. You can catch him during commercial breaks to speak to you about your questions. 800-627-3809. His website is also readymaderesources.com. With that number to talk to Bob, top of the hour breaks, 800-627-3809. And also, too, he's offering a $75 store credit if you use a coupon code Hodges, H-O-D-G-E-S. That would be me. $75 store credit for any purchases made this evening at readymaderesources.com. And I call Bob the king of prepper's world, although he's really much more than that. His extensive experience and his product line goes way beyond just basic prepping, especially when you get into communications and night vision. But $75 store credit, absolutely phenomenal opportunity. Also, as you know, I represent Numana Foods. And Mike Adams did a comparison test not too long ago on 12 different dimensions of storable food companies, and Numana won in every single dimension. And that's straight from our good friend Mike Adams, the health ranger. Numana, best tasting, long shelf life, 25 years, restaurant quality food. It's really the best company out there in the world. And with things going the way they are, and with the way that the left is not getting traction with these protests, despite incessant media coverage, they're not getting any traction, just like they did during the primaries. What are they going to do next? Well, they're going to pull the plug. And when they pull the plug, we want you to be ready. This is why I push Numana so hard. Guns, gold, ammo, food, water, and network of people to support you. That's what you need to get through what's coming up. We can help you with the food. Numana.com/Hodges. coupon code HodgesNOV5 to take 5% off of your order. Also, our YouTube channel is growing by leaps and bounds. We're up to over 1.8 million this last month, and we're growing even beyond that. Our subscriptions are skyrocketing. We'd ask to be part of our family there because people have asked me for years, Dave, would you please do a daily show? I can't with my schedule commit to a regular routine, but I do podcasts every day. I do podcast interviews. I did 20 in the month of January. That makes me a daily show. So I want you to check us out. If you haven't gone to YouTube, it's simply The Common Sense Show. And we have an app that you can add us on to for your Android and follow everything that we do. Okay, that takes care of our business for this hour. Those are our great sponsors. We appreciate their support and their help that brings you this show. Now, on to serious business. I have a preliminary statement to make before we get started. I have been working with Monica Wesolowski, State Department employee, all week long. She originally contacted me because she wanted some advice on how to deal with the extreme workplace harassment and intimidation and fear that she was going through because she was a Trump supporter. And I reported on that all week long. I've got two major interviews with Monica that's up there. Monica has gotten a case of, shall we say, cold feet. And who can blame someone who's been under this intense scrutiny? She was followed, well, let's put it this way. She came out of her apartment one morning to go to work at the State Department. The morning after, she talked to me, and we had an oh-by-the-way conversation about child sex trafficking. This is what we think triggered this. And there was a man waiting there for her. He followed her, and that same man was there a couple of parking spots away when she got home that evening. She took off in a panic. He followed her, and in the twists and turns around her complex, she ended up behind him where she took several pictures that we published on the Common Sense Show. We have his license plate. She went to the police. They advised her not to go home. They also said, well, run these license plates, and they came back. And they came back as we can't trace these. It's a rental car. It's rented by the federal government. And they put a squash on finding out who did the renting. So the federal government was the ones who were harassing and following Monica. She has, I don't believe she stayed at home since this event. The two interviews you can listen to after the show are up on thecommonsenseshow.com. But she is extremely in fear of her life. And since I published the interviews with Monica, I've heard from other people who I believe are State Department employees, but they wouldn't give me their agency. And they told me, yes, there is child sex trafficking involvement. And this is why I asked Doug Hagman to come on. And well, he comes on anyway, but I said, this is what we wanted to talk about because Doug is knee deep or actually neck deep in the Pizzagate scandal. So Doug, I want to welcome to the show. Sorry about the long-winded explanation, but I know people tuned in tonight expecting to hear Monica. And they're not going to hear Monica tonight, but we will talk about her case and her facts in relation to Doug, what you have. So welcome to the show, Doug, and let's just jump right into this.
Well, Dave, thanks so much for having me. And, yeah, no, I fully understand, you know, Monica's reluctance, reticence to come on, certainly. Wow. I mean, as we look at this larger issue of child trafficking, especially at the hands of the State Department or at the highest levels within government, it's really it's frightening. I mean, it's frightening for non-investigators, I suppose. It certainly is disturbing to me. You know, you're seeing this international. It's international in scope. The people who are involved in this are certainly heavy hitters and power players within and outside of the Beltway. Yeah, you're looking at the dregs of society, the dregs of humanity, in my view anyway. When you talk about things like this, when you look at things like this, this is, you know, of which Pizzagate is just one small slice, pun intended, of the larger issue of the child sex trafficking and human trafficking. So, wow, yeah. I mean, you know, we've got so many people that are connected to this from the And, well, let me preface what I'm saying by this. All of this is raw investigative information. None of this is to suggest any criminal wrongdoing. This is all circumstantial information, circumstantial evidence, documentation being submitted for the purposes of discussion. Nothing I am saying here is intended to suggest or otherwise, you know, say that anyone is guilty of anything. It's just a conversation we're having about the names that have come up in this larger issue that's being that has been and currently is being followed by a number of citizen journalists, because the mainstream media won't touch this. Ben Swan had done an interesting maybe a 10-minute video about Pizzagate here a couple of weeks ago, and suddenly just went off the grid, stating he was going to go off the grid, of course, but it was certainly a cryptic series of or a cryptic message, and I'm not exactly certain what, you know, where that stands. But having said all of that, this involves the origins of this involves the Podesta emails from October 3rd, 2016. It involves a whole host of citizen journalists from Reddit initially. Now Vote, and that's the forum of choice for these citizen journalists. And the names, as you go through these emails of the Clinton emails, the Podesta emails, and also the emails that were found, 650,000 plus, on the computers of Anthony Weiner and Huma Abedin, in addition to the state secrets or the classified emails on an unsecured system, there were, according to my sources, significant findings of emails that would suggest ties to, and I'm going to be very careful of how I say this, ties to underage sex. I guess that's the only way to say it. And of course, this is borne out by the fact that there is an investigation, both federal and state investigation, against Anthony Weiner, who may or may not be turning state's evidence based on the emails that or the sexting and computerized or computer using the computer to speak with underage girls, plural. So, having said all of that, and this also has ties. You know, when we look at, and I'm not sure how many people really understand Pizzagate, what that is, or how to even approach it because it's so large. We certainly can just provide a thumbnail sketch of that, but the bottom line here is this involves foundations owned by David Brock, or appears to involve foundations owned by David Brock, and we had Andrew Kerr on our program to talk about the various foundations, but including Media Matters for America. And David Brock, of course, is the former lover of the owner of Comet Ping Pong Pizza Place, James Olifantis. And James Olifantis is close to Podesta and also Obama. He was a frequent visitor to the Obama White House. You know, when we look at this, we have to ask ourselves this question. What if the state, the nation, members of the nation state, people with inside the government, in a systematic way are responsible for crimes such as human trafficking, sex, drug running, gun running. We know that, and for some reason, the gun running is more palatable than the human trafficking, and I understand that. But I don't think that they can be extricated from one another. But what we're looking at here is a systematic, almost like a democide, which is a word that came to being, I guess, in the 21st, beginning of the 20th century, I'm sorry, which means simply death by government. But, and this, by the way, what we're talking about transcends all political parties. It doesn't matter if you're on the right, left, or in the center. There's involvement by all parties here. And with respect to democide, you know, it's very difficult that anyone could deny the government is the number one abuser, enslaver, and even, I suppose we could make an argument, serial killer. You know, and I'm not just talking about America in this case in the 20th century, but look at all of the nations from the genocide we've seen carried out all across the world. But nonetheless, when you look at, for example, what started all of this, the Podesta emails, you just open up this huge can of perversity. Perversity that I can't even begin to describe. Perversity that involves people that are just, you know, unbelievable. Well, and again, I'm being very careful with my words here, Dave. You know, there is a systemic pedophilia problem inside the Beltway. There's one in Hollywood. There's one with people all across the world. And it seems as if the Podesta emails and the Hillary Clinton emails somehow, in some way, because of whether it's serendipitous or whether it was truly the talents of one or two initially citizen journalists and investigators to expose this, it certainly has been exposed. This involves agencies that are supposed to be taking care of our children, taking care of refugee children, taking care of the children, families, and people who are involved in disasters, like in Haiti, for example. And in Haiti, we found Laura Silsby, who was arrested for attempting to allegedly kidnap 33 children out of Haiti. And Silsby is tied directly to Hillary Diane Rodham Clinton. And it's interesting that Silsby has since, because of Hillary's intervention, for example, Silsby has been, the charges against her were reduced, and she's back on track here in the United States. She changed her name, and she's now working, believe it or not, and this is how twisted things are, she's working for a company that supplies the technology for the Amber Alert system. Okay? Trust me. And I mean, this goes so deep and so twisted. You know, you look at, for example, people like James Elefantis, and you look at his brother, or what do you look at the, I'm sorry, the connected with James Elefantis are Charles and David DeSantis. Now, Charles DeSantis is married to David McDermott. Well, Charles DeSantis, I'm sorry, is heading up a UN refugee agency. And I guess the reason I want to say this, the United Nations High Commission for Refugees, and the reason I want to mention this, and it seems rather out of context and kind of shotgunned here with respect to the information, is I think you'll be able to see here how many people in positions of power within the government and also the NGOs have access to some of the most important commodity No, I know I shouldn't refer to people as a commodity, but the most important, you know, things in their lives, and that's children and people. But again, you know, just as an example, Laura Silsby, working for MyState USA, which was changed to AlertSense, which provides technology to the Amber Alert System, a part of the Haiti kidnapping, child kidnapping aspect back a number of years ago. So when you look at the totality of evidence here, and you look at the people, you look at the different people involved, from celebrities to, of course, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, who is the head of the Lolita Express, the aircraft that ran junkets of Bill and Hillary to the Orgy Island. You know, at one point, it's Jeffrey Epstein claimed at one point to be a co-founder of the Clinton Foundation, but his own private pedophile island, Little St. James. Hillary Clinton was a frequent visitor. Well, I should say an occasional visitor, while Bill Clinton was a frequent visitor. Hillary Clinton, and I mentioned Laura Silsby. Hillary Clinton was sent email updates on the prosecution of Laura Silsby, who was caught trafficking of children in Haiti. Laura Silsby was got off the hook by Judge Puello, who himself was later convicted of sex trafficking, and was wanted on charges of sex trafficking in four countries. Izette Folger, a close friend of James Elefantis, and James Elefantis, just to remind people again, the owner of Comet Ping Pong Pizza. He provided a statement in support of Silsby, but Folger is a daughter of Michael McCobe, who gave a very emphatic and lengthy statement of support for Comet during a contentious neighborhood commission meeting when they wanted to do some things at night. It just so happens that his son Max McCobe is on the board of directors of a orphanage. Okay, so I mean, you see how all of these tentacles. And by the way, one of the orphanages I just referenced is operational in Haiti. It happens to be, just happens to be, the very same orphanage from which Silsby was caught trafficking children. You know, and you had talked about Frank Giustra. Remember, you had talked about him, the owner of the Radcliffe Foundation. Major Clinton Foundation donor. Well, again, he's the owner of the Radcliffe Foundation. Well, the logo of the Elpida home, a refugee center founded by the Radcliffe Foundation, happens to be almost identical to the pedophile boy lover symbol. What does that mean? You know, there's a lot of symbology built into this. You know, I say all of that. I'm throwing a whole lot of information out there, because when you look at this investigation, it's enough just to make your mind melt. But the media, the establishment media, the very same establishment elites who try to control politics, they also control the mainstream media, of course. And I'm going to throw Fox News in there. They don't want corruption of the magnitude that I'm talking exposed. And, you know, as soon as someone mentions the word Pizzagate, oh, my goodness, buckle up, because you're in for a trouncing. And you know, that's when the allegations of false and hoax and fake news come out without any direct addressing of the evidence or the anecdotal or prima facie direct or indirect evidence that we're talking about. And you know, it's interesting, because if people look up Pizzagate, whatever, in whatever context, and they find the Wikipedia entry for that, it's labeled, or it's described as this intricate conspiracy theory. It's nothing of the sort. And the Washington D.C. Metro Police Department claimed, and they're hanging their hat on part of this. This is the wrong agency, and I have to say this. The Washington, D.C. Metro Police Department claimed it investigated Pizzagate and concluded the allegations were false. But there were FOIA, Freedom of Information Request, form sent to the D.C. Police Department verified that no investigation was ever conducted. So, and it doesn't help, too, when you have people who own real estate on the Internet, including that forum I mentioned before, Reddit, where a lot of this investigative journalism was conducted. The CEO of Reddit, Steve Huffman banned Pizzagate research on his forum on bogus grounds, accusing people of engaging in witch hunts. Well, all I can say is this, just check into the background of Steve Huffman, and I think you'll have your, you know, people will have their answers.
Can you give us some details, Doug?
Well, I think it would speak for itself that there are some issues with respect. There's some questionable activities. I don't want to say questionable activities. I'll just say interesting connections with the CEO, Huffman, and others. All right. So, and we're seeing, and I'm going to be on Alex Jones tomorrow. I don't think I'll be able to talk about this, or I don't think this is the subject that will come up, but I had said on InfoWars before, and I said on your program before, that the New York Police Department, well, to be precise, the investigators who had their hands on the equipment located in the Wiener-Obidin household found not only violations of the found not only documents that would violate the State Department protocol for handling sensitive and top secret and classified material, and this would involve Clinton, Obidin, Wiener, and others, Mills, Samuelson, all the people involved in this whole trench of people, but there were also image files and text files allegedly that were found and retained by some of the investigators without the knowledge of the superiors. So it's rather as an insurance policy, and this is important because I think people need to understand that people are saying, well, if there was any smoke there or any real fire or any real information or any real actionable intelligence or documentation about child sex trafficking or whatever contained on those pieces of equipment, something would have been done by now. I submit to you, look at what happened in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, just last week. Multiple arrests were made in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Look at what happened in Los Angeles just about the same time last week. A pedophile ring was broken up in Los Angeles. The reason I'm mentioning this is I submit to everybody, I submit to you, that these are warning shots, that these are shots across the bow that against the Justice Department, saying, look, if you don't, if this is not fully investigated and broken open, then well, it needs to be, and I think in the meantime, we're going to show you what information we have by making certain arrests that otherwise would not have been made, and that's kind of sending a message. I'm not sure if I made myself clear on that. I don't mean to be I do mean to be deliberately cryptic, but I think people can read between the lines. So I guess what I'm saying, Dave, is the investigators from NYPD specifically have information on portable drives that that they obtained from the server, or not the servers, but the computers, the modems, the iPads, the telephones. This is more than one laptop in the Wiener investigation. They have this information as an insurance policy to make sure that the right thing gets done. and they're relying on Trump once an attorney general is seated, that they will go through and continue with their investigation. And that's why I do believe that the federal judge in the Southern District of New York, we're talking about Preet Bharara, was retained because he knows and intends to continue this prosecution. So, but it gets worse. I mean, people can go, and it does get a lot worse. I just found, Dave, I'll just tell you this. I just found this. Let me see if I can get to it here. This is really crazy. I just found this. A group called, and people can look this up right now in real time. A group called the Sanctum Limited Liability Company. And that's S-A-N-C-T-U-M. Now, they have a website at S-N-C-T-M. That's S like Sam, N Nancy, C Charlie, T Terry, M Mary, SNCTM.com. If you go to that address, if you go to that website, you'll see that it is a private members club that serves the social and entertainment needs of its members and guests. But what do they do? And by the way, the admittance to this club, it's very exclusive, is by application only. But what they do, it's a private members club hosting black tie masquerade and private dinner parties every month. But what they also do is they teach fetishes, erotic arts, and they have pool parties. And they involve people like, well, Hollywood people, actors, actresses. And they also, and it's a very limited membership. I think the New York Post, and I'm not 100% sure, but I believe the New York Post, Bill Maher was there at a recent party. We're talking like within the last 10 days. The New York Post, and if people think this is all conspiracy nonsense, they can just search the New York Post, the February 1st edition. The title, or an article written by Heather Howsworth, Inside LA's Most Exclusive Sex Party. The reason I brought this up is suddenly this appears to have some common traits with the goings-on, the doings of the findings of Pizzagate, what is known as Pizzagate, what is known as Pedogate, the larger, however, this is more of a refined club with dues of $75,000 a year. That keeps out the riffraff. Right. And then, of course, you've got these various artists, like well-known artists, Marina Abramović, but also Amanda Kleinman, who is the performer known as Majestic Ape. There's overlap all over the place, and this overlap is Podesta-style paintings, shall we say, the artwork, the spirit cooking, the dinners, the pseudo-cannibalism. And I said all of that to say this. All of this is just sitting on the back burner right now. We're looking at a culture shock. We're looking at the UN refugee agencies, the State Department, the political and pedophilia connections that we were finding, not by the day, but by the hour, as we are sitting on, and just going through this 24/7 almost. So the bottom line is you've got people being briefed right now within the Trump administration or prospective Trump administration, even people coming in. You've got people being briefed about the investigation that's been conducted by NYPD, by the FBI, some members of the FBI, not all, some, who are cooperating, and the other people who are involved in the pedophilia investigation, which is far and wide. You've got over 30 politicians by some account, and over 40 other individuals throughout D.C., throughout Virginia, and a handful inside New York, the five boroughs, who are under investigation, according to my source. You've got, that's all I can really confirm in terms of the who and the with respect to the politicians. But when you combine this to the story, to the account, to the experiences of your guest who is not with us tonight, and understand what's at stake, I certainly understand why.
Well, it is high stakes. People have disappeared. People have died. Doug, let me share with you a little bit about what's come to me and share with the listening audience. Monica's, oh, by the way, comment on State Department brochures in which child sex trafficking is not portrayed within the United States, but is prominently displayed in these brochures for what goes overseas. And the person who's in charge of this is from Saudi Arabia, travels there frequently. You can do the math, because I've done the math with Jimmy Savile and the royal family, and I know those Saudi connections. And I know exactly how extensive this is, but let's stop there. I talked to two federal employees, and I have to be very, very vague here because they are afraid for their life. And they both said to me in the same conversation, they said that everything that Monica said is true, but it goes much deeper in her, oh, by the way, comment, because she was concerned about workplace harassment. This was just an off-the-cuff remark that I captured, and I ran with it. And I shook the trees, and things started to fall out. These two people told me that kids are transferred through diplomatic pouches issued by the State Department. Now, they would not tell me whether or not the State Department uses these cross-agency. In other words, could DHS or CIA or somebody move children? But they're endorsed by the Secretary of State, and they can't be searched. I don't know the answer to that question, and I've asked three people today and got three different answers. But what I do know is this parallels what Joe Kennedy, the father of John Kennedy, did in the 1930s when he brought in Irish whiskey under his diplomatic pouch and sold it to Al Capone. So we're seeing the same thing here. Now, I had an email from someone claiming to be a federal employee. The first two people I talked to, they were legitimate. They said all the right things. I've been down this road often enough, Doug, that I know they were legit. The email I got on this, and I got other emails too, but this one stood out. I have been offloading C-140s in various locations, and I have seen children transported. In fact, in one flight, the person said, I saw some of them in shackles. Now, I always take these kinds of comments with a grain of salt. But given how serious this is and the gravity of what you've expressed here this evening, this now is starting to take center stage. And by the way, the two callers from this federal agency told me on the phone that this is international. This is not just a U.S. endeavor. This isn't limited to Pizzagate in D.C. This is international. Doug, one more thing. Pizzagate is nothing new. I interviewed the author of the Franklin scandal. God, his name, Gary, just jumped out of my head. I'm sorry, Gary. Great guy. But I interviewed him a couple of times. I also interviewed John Cruz, senior VP of HSBC Bank. And here's a connection, Doug, that you may want to comment on, that he told me he had proof, and he tried to take this to Loretta Lynch when she was the head of the Eastern Division of New York before she got appointed to Attorney General, and he had evidence that showed terrorists and drug cartels working together in gun running, child sex trafficking, and also drugs. And he busted these boiler rooms, was told to stop, was fired when he wouldn't stop, and so he tried to go to DHS, they wouldn't play ball with him, tried to go to Loretta Lynch, they wouldn't talk to him. But here's what he told me in our last interview. He said the Clinton Foundation was connected to this, and at the time that this is going on, get this, Doug, James Comey was on the board of directors for HSBC Bank, the present FBI director. And this is what I want you to comment on. I think that Trump kept him on against all logic because James Comey knows where all the bodies are buried, so to speak, and Trump has turned him. What do you think?
I think that's possible, Dave. You know, even the spies, and we'll classify Comey as a spy, domestic spy. Even the spies, to some extent, are compromised. You don't become the director of any federal agency, at least in my view, without being bribed or having the ability to bribe or being compromised. So it sounds reasonable to me with respect to James Comey, given his former position in terms of HSBC. And yes, I totally agree with that assessment at its face, as you know, Occam's razor, the perhaps the most logical reason, again, right, against the obvious. Now, if I may, Dave, in a way, because you're looking at the Justice Department here, or at least the FBI and the Justice Department. You know, one thing that bothered me, too, about the recent spate of protests and everything, when I started looking at these protests, whether it's, Antifa, anti-fascism, or resist fascism, or whatever these are, again, the overlap of people is incredible. The one thing I found that was just absolutely, it just blew my mind. It really just blew my mind with respect to some of these people the Franklin scandal. I'm not sure if you were talking about Nick Bryant or
Nick Bryant. Yes, thank you.
Okay, all right, good. Yeah, you had me thinking there for a second. But with respect to, we'll take, for example, the Women's March that we saw the day after the inauguration. One of the women, the black women there, that stood up and gave this rousing speech at this women's movement was none other than Donna Hilton. Now, I'm not sure how many people know that name. If you don't know that name, just a little bit of background about Donna Hilton. She was a woman who spent time in prison. Why? Well, she kidnapped, raped, murdered, and attempted to ransom a homosexual man a number of years ago. She was one of three. Well, she was one of at least three co-conspirators who grabbed a guy, who grabbed a victim, held him captive for somewhere between 15 to 20 days until his death. He was starved, he was burned, he was beaten, he was tortured. She was thrown in prison. She was actually found guilty, and tossed in prison. And however, she was let out of prison early, and suddenly becomes this woman's right activist and criminal justice reform advocate, speaking side by side with Linda Sarsour, the Sharia proponent and women's rights activist, which is incredibly insane because you can't have both. But then if you keep going, you look at, for example, the Portland resistance, the Portland, what's going on in Portland, Oregon. The co-leader of the Portland resistance is none other than Micah Rhodes. He's a 23-year-old registered sex offender. And he's part of the co-founder of Portland's resistance. He became a registered sex offender following convictions of first-degree sexual abuse, first-degree sexual sodomy. And details of his conviction aren't really known because of his juvenile record. I mean, this guy's 23 just now. But he's got charges, apparently, allegedly charges pending against him now. Why did I bring those two people up? Because the financing, it all goes back to the financing. These groups are the same people, the Soros-funded groups, the Brock-funded groups. And Brock, of course, is connected to Elefantis, like I said. So when you look at this, it is so huge, and the tentacles are so, I mean, it's like a bowl of spaghetti. Everything is just all twisted in there. You have to pull out one strand at a time to really understand how deep this is. But the perversity. Oh, and by the way, I might as well throw this in there. Pizzagate, comment, pizza, ping pong. It's interesting because one of the commenters on Instagram, pictures by James Alifanis of Pizzagate fame, comment, ping pong fame, is none other than Aaron Rao, R-A-O. He happens to be the assistant U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C., or just south of Washington, D.C., in Virginia, I believe it is. You talk about incestuous, and you talk about the inmates, in my view, inmates running the asylum. You've got this incredible, intertwined, incestuous relationship between those who are supposed to be prosecuting and protecting and those who are actually heavily involved in, shall we say, what appear to be not only less than moral, but certainly potentially illegal acts, if not downright satanic, in my view, acts. So there we have it. I mean, it's incredible. And yes, the State Department, and yes, frankly, this is nothing new. The Franklin scandal goes back to the mid-80s. You know, all of this is just, it's international in scope. The Saudis are huge in this. And then yes, the diplomatic part of this, a lot of this is done based on the information I've cultivated, is being done under the cover of, under diplomatic cover. Or military cover.
Well, the Wachovia Wells Fargo case, when Blackwater was busted for these same offenses, Wachovia paid, I believe, a $400 million fine, more or less, and no one went to jail. Same with Blackwater, they paid a fine, no one went to jail, and they were found guilty of trafficking in children. And they were using the State Department again. I made a comment the other day that State Department should be forced, everyone should be forced to resign, and every job should be reviewed on a case-by-case basis. But see, this is what Trump faces, Doug. He has inherited mid-level managers that are just as dirty as the people who were upper-level that served Obama.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you know, he talks about draining the swamp. It's a pretty deep and crowded swamp.
It's an ocean.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the again, the money that's funneling the... Now, see, this is the other part of this, too. You've got this huge initiative to take Trump out of the presidency. In a number of ways, it could be done in a number of ways, of course. You have a magazine, I believe it is. Oh my goodness, I don't. I'm not sure the name of the magazine, or the Village magazine is what is the magazine. But I think this is the one out of Europe. with crosshairs over Trump's temple, with the words "Why not" on the cover. Okay, but so they either want to take him out physically or through impeachment, which is their next way, or by declaring him mentally incompetent. And again, the people behind that, in addition to Soros, you've got Media Matters, David Brock, the Democrats, and they, and as I talked about, I think the last program I was on with you, they had at that time just completed a meeting down at Turnberry Resort in Florida with 120 plus people that included, but were not limited to, attorneys general, former federal prosecutors, politicians, and such. But they've got, and they came up with Democracy Matters, Strategic Plan for Action, and people can search that for that multi-page document of how they want to take out or at least delegitimize Donald Trump. And that Robert Reich, by the way, is also involved in the process. Robert Reich, the former U.S. Treasury or U.S. Secretary of Labor. And he had just come out with a video that suggests that all of the violence we're seeing are paid Trump provocateurs.
That defies logic.
Yeah, and that certainly gives new meaning to the term Reichstag fire. I mean...
okay, I'll let that go. That's good. Doug, we're out of time, and I want you to hang with me during the break for just a moment, if you would.
Sure.
Because we're not done with this. We're on top of the tip of the iceberg, and we've chipped away one piece of ice. I will say this in closing. This is international, and the same people that did this killed Ray Greikar, who tried to investigate the Second Mile Foundation, and Jerry Sandusky, who was Greikar County DA. These people will stop at nothing. No one's out of bounds. They'll kill anybody. Nancy Schaefer, they killed. It's on and on and on. Doug, you got a great book. We got about 20 seconds to promote it. Tell people how they get a copy of your book.
Sure. The book's called Stained by Blood. If you want an autographed copy, go to stainedbyblood.com, or it's on Amazon in Kindle and paperback format. Stained by Blood. Thank you, Dave, for allowing me to mention that. And that, by the way, touches upon my stumbling into the very topics we're talking about 30 years ago.
Oh, Doug, I am riveted and awestruck by your presentation, and I can't get enough. So stay with me here as we go to break. To everybody else, we're just getting warmed up. We're going to be back with Steve Quayle in hour number two. And wow. Thanks so much to Doug Hagman. We'll see you back here in hour number two.